بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity to go through the months of Muharram and Safar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with many blessings. One of the blessings that is essential to our existence as human beings and our progress to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is our human existence. If we digress from that, we are digressing from our humanity. We are falling in rank below the level of humanity if we go off that course and not make progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the essential elements that we have, that we've been gifted with, is Muharram and Safar, the Ahlul Bayt. But one of the instances that the Ahlul Bayt are there, the Ahlul Bayt are there, we always have remembrances of the Ahlul Bayt, the great blessing of the Ahlul Bayt. But one of the greatest opportunities for us to make a connection with the Ahlul Bayt is the months of Muharram and Safar. And the irony of it is, in a sense, the beauty of it, and many people don't understand this. Some people do. Some of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt understand this, that it looks like it's... And it feels, there is that feeling of grief, sorrow, sadness. And people who don't understand this type of sadness that is connected to the Ahlul Bayt, that stems from a strong love of the Ahlul Bayt, that builds the love towards the Ahlul Bayt, that this sadness and sorrow in the months of Muharram and Safar that are expressed in tears and in matam and the beating of the chest is actually the source of happiness. And in those very moments that we experience that sadness and we have the tears for the Ahlul Bayt, because this is a real connection with a real entity created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our proximity to Him, for our connection to Him, it's not a sadness that stems from disconnection from Allah. It's not a sadness that stems from forgetfulness of Allah, negligence of Allah. It's not a forgetfulness that is connected to kufr, which has a negative spiritual effect on us. The effect of it is actually positive. Those who don't experience it in this way, looking from the outside, think, oh, why are these people dressed in black and crying and beating their chest? Why do you want to do this every week? Remember Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? Can you leave me alone at least for the time of Eid? Let's not cry on the time of Eid. Well, you don't know what you're missing. I mean, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. But remembering Abu Abdullah al-Hussein for moments and shedding tears for him, even on the days of Eid that we have. We didn't make this up ourselves. If anybody makes anything up, that's their problem. They shouldn't do that. If we were to make that up, then that would be our problem. But if we have been told Ziyarat Ashura is for every day of the year, how can you remember Ziyarat Ashura and not be able to not make that connection and shed tears for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? We've been told specifically on the days of Eid, some of our greatest Eids, to remember Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, one of the greatest Eids is 15th of Sha'ban, the birth of the Imam of our time. That's a special night of ziyarah of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Why not? Those who haven't experienced it and don't know what this is, the month of Muharram and Safar is over, they start rejoicing, alhamdulillah, it's over. For those who understand this, similar to the month of Ramadan, that when it's over, they realize what blessing is being taken away. And of course, the blessing of the Ahlul Bayt remains, but that time of the remembrance together collectively in the way it's possible in the months of Muharram and Safar, it's not possible throughout the year. It's not possible for the rest of the year that these times are over. We see a blessing being taken away from us. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the remembrance of the Ahlul Bayt throughout the year. We should take these ahadith that have been implemented by our great ulama throughout these centuries seriously. The ulama made it a point to have weekly remembrances of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, the Ahlul Bayt in general, but more specifically because the Ahlul Bayt have said, in the context of shedding tears and remembering the Masa'ib, it's Imam al-Hussein that's been mentioned most. To have something weekly, Imam Khomeini used to have it, various ulama, but because Imam Khomeini is more known to us, his public life is more well known to us. Otherwise, if you go to the cities of Qum and Najaf, you will see every Thursday night, various ulama have gatherings in their homes, in the buyut, in the offices. They gather, they make sure they have someone, a few words of wa'd, reminders, and then something said in remembrance of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, shedding tears. It will, again, for those who haven't tried this, those who know what I'm speaking of, they've already experienced it. They know exactly what's being said here. But those who haven't experienced it, try it. Try it for a while. You will see that those ahadith are very true. They don't cause you to fall into depression. They don't cause you to be a type of person that just does not want to be involved with life, does not want to be serious in anything. It actually has a reverse effect. The times where no one has the energy to continue, you will be the one who has the energy to continue. When everyone else is too depressed to make a move, you will be very energetic. And you will remember Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. While you're shedding tears, there's this positive energy, this joy and happiness while you're shedding those tears, while you have this sadness. At the very same time, there's this happiness and joy in the heart that when the tears don't come, we're sad that what was wrong with me that I didn't get those tears? What was wrong with me that I wasn't able to participate? I wasn't able to be involved? So inshallah, while we move away from these times, this is not a time that we will lessen our connection with the Ahlul Bayt. The form of it will change. We need to do more salawat in the months outside of Muharram and Safar, where we don't congregate in the ways we do in Muharram and Safar, to keep the memory of the Ahlul Bayt alive in our minds and hearts, inshallah. And more specifically, not just their memory, but in an emotional way, with an emotional connection. That's very strong in the months of Muharram and Safar. We need to continue with the emotional connection that we have with the Ahlul Bayt throughout the year, inshallah. One last point that I feel that I need to mention in these times is something that I think a lot of believers have come to understand, but it is something that I think is worthy of a reminder. Elections in this country are coming up. While we as believers are responsible to be active members of society in bringing about positive change and helping in constructing the world, the globe, one of the sins that the Quran talks about, and the sin of kuffar, is that they destroy the earth. Okay, they destroy the earth. Al-harth, Al-Harth, I believe if I pronounce it correctly, wa-Nasl. Destruction is a sin. Destroying the world, destroying people's lives, destroying woods, destroying natural life, destroying the environment, causing destruction to any part of the world is a crime according to the Quran. And the opposite of it, constructing the world, causing construction and growth and progress to the world, to the people on all levels, on a spiritual level, on a material level, is a great blessing. The Anbiya were not only involved in making progress in the spiritual lives of people, they were the leaders that when people listened to them, they made progress in architecture, in literature, in the various forms of material progress that we can understand and we understand today. Prophets have been the ones who have made progress in those areas unlike anyone else. No one else has been able to make that type of progress. Or anyone who has had that divine connection, one of those that has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, who was not a prophet, yet he had that divine connection and he had that effect on earth, is Dhul Qarnayn, mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers this a good thing. We as believers in this part of the world or anywhere we are, we have that responsibility, that obligation. There is a fallacy that is promoted at times of elections to get believers to use this or a watered down version of the teaching that I just briefly presented and twist it to use it for us to help the destruction of the kuffar by participating in elections, suggesting that participation in the elections is being an active member of society, helping change. I want to remind us, it should be evident, it is evident, it is very clear for anyone who opens their eyes, and I'm sure you are some of them, but because of all the stuff that's out there, all the activities that are out there, I think it needs a reminder so that some of the clear, manifest truths that are visible to us are not hidden by repeated mentions of falsehood and wrong reasons and arguments. Participation in the elections in the United States of America or anywhere else in the world means that you are considering the system a system that your participation will make positive change. That is casting a vote in the ballot box before any of the candidates and any of the tickets. It's a vote supporting the system that has presented these two options in this country. And they are only two options. I saw some comments. So this is one of the other fallacies that are out there. Now, you don't only have two options. Go vote for the best imam that you like. That's hilarious. You want to go cast a vote for anyone but those two options. That's hilarious. And it tells us. Why is it hilarious? Because even if all of us vote for that favorite imam that is leading a community here, that imam will never be the president of this country, even if he is over 35 and if he's born here. He will never be, unless he seems to be an imam, but otherwise he's an imam of kufr, an imam of jahannam, an imam leading people towards hell. That's the only way that they would be the president of this country. So with that analogy, if you participate in the elections, you're still voting for the system. And this is the part, this is what we are suggesting. Besides which one you vote for, by participating in the elections, you are suggesting, you are presenting a view that I am willing to participate in this political system. Why? Because this is the only reason why you would participate. Because this election is going to make a difference in the right or wrong. Otherwise, if it doesn't make any difference in the right or wrong, the wrong will remain wrong. The system is entirely wrong. If, right now we're just putting this as an if it's entirely wrong, regardless of which of them comes to power, the system is entirely wrong. It is going to be wrong, whether it's this candidate or the other candidate. The system produces wrong, falsehood, evil, regardless. If that's the case, then this is not a system that you would be part of, you would want to be a participant in. You wouldn't want to support such a system. By participating in it, you are suggesting that this is a system that is trying to do good, that presents options. Those who think this is a better candidate and he will do good and not evil, he will bring about justice and not injustice, you have those two options. Come forward, participate in it. You are actually participating in the political system. Your choice makes a difference. Well, that's a fallacy. That's not true. It is not true that this system gives you an option to actually participate in the system. Why do we say that? Because we have seen over and over, go read your history. Whatever any president promised, that's only before elections. After elections, Obama said he's going to shut down Guantanamo Bay. He didn't. He said we're going to cause change in the policies, foreign policies of the U.S. He didn't. These are not real promises. Even the ones that do make sense to us and sound good, they're not real promises. They're not involving you. You are there to show your support for the system. That's all they need you for. In fact, participating in an election is falling for them. Look at how desperate they are for people to participate in the elections. They need that participation. They need that participation. Politicians need that participation. But it's a participation that is just that. Support the person to go into office and he will do as he wishes. You're not involved with afterwards. You're not really involved with the political system. If you decide afterwards that this person said these things but he's not doing any of them, can you do a damn thing about that? Absolutely not. You involved with anything afterwards? No. It's just you go over there and you cast your vote, and that's pretty much it. You can come out in the streets, any type of protest, whatever figures, whatever numbers, they'll call you whatever names they want. It doesn't matter. Okay, you're not participating. The other thing is the record of this system is, regardless of who is in office, it is evil. The idea of lesser than of two evils is also, besides that general principle not being proven anywhere, we don't have the idea of lesser of two evils is always good. No. When the options are only between bad and worse, yes, you choose bad instead of worse. That's when the options are only that. But are the options only that? Are those the only options? No, there are other options as well. Choosing for the lesser of two. That general principle is flawed. We don't have such a general principle, either rationally or religiously. There's no such principle that can be argued. It's just something that's put out there that confuses people and gets them to say, well, you know, I think we need to participate. Besides that, even if there were such a principle, is any of the candidates lesser in evil than the other? No, there really isn't. It isn't such that the Democratic Party is less evil than the other. Why? This can be explained in many ways. For instance, one of the differences that traditionally has been seen as a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is that the Republicans are conservatives, supposedly, and the Democrats are liberal. Now, somehow people assume that liberalism, being liberal, is a good thing. At least as Muslims, we're speaking to Muslims, and of course to non-Muslims I would say the same, but it will be a little more difficult to get the point across. If you are a Muslim and you have accepted the truth that God is the one that presents what's right and wrong, then liberalism is in stark contrast with that. So if you have a liberal candidate running, then even if, let's say, because I saw a nice cartoon, it was really nice, there were two bombers going, one of them was just a black bomber releasing bombs and killing people, the other one had Black Lives Matter on it and a rainbow flag on the tail. Okay. And the first was the Republican, they had that label on. And I don't want to say this is a correct analysis. It seems to be that the rainbow flag is a bipartisan thing. It seems to be, regardless of your political affiliation with whatever party, it seems to be the thing that you need to do. Otherwise, you're just not going to be accepted amongst the elite. Anyhow. But let's just take that. That's the perception. This is liberalism, the LGBTQ or whatever, the rainbow flag. And the other is, they are both bombing. Obama bombed even worse. He's the one that created ISIS. It was during his time they created ISIS. Hillary Clinton has confessed. John McCain has confessed. The videos, not just audio, videos are available. All right. So the killing was no less in Palestine, in the Muslim world. It's no less. Even if it was, though, even if it was the case, if this one had bombers, the other one didn't have, these guys, let's say the Republicans hated LGBT and the Democrats loved LGBT, but they didn't bomb. Is that lesser of two evils? Where do we get that from? The Quran says, "Al-fitnatu akbar min al-qatl." Read your Quran. Fitna is greater a sin compared to qatl, killing. There was a time that the believers were sent to spy on the kuffar and see what their plans are. The Prophet sent a few to stand outside of Mecca, observe what the kuffar are doing. Bring him back intelligence. There was a point where the kuffar, a few of them came out close to these guys who were doing their thing. Something happened that blew their cover, and those few kuffar came to know that the Muslimin are here. They started moving back towards Mecca. These Muslimin started thinking about them amongst themselves. What should we do? Should we attack them? Should we not? They had the right to do that. The problem was, that was the month of Haram. We have months of the year that you cannot engage, you cannot initiate battle. If somebody attacks you in battle, then you have every right to defend yourself. But initiating battle, you can't initiate that in the months of Haram. That's God's rule in the Holy Quran. The Arabs had this, but they never respected it. One year they would say, no, we move the month of Haram from, for instance, Muharram to another month. They would decide to change on their own. It's like it's theirs. No, God said these are the months of Haram. You don't change that. The Quran says this is how the kuffar behaved. However, the Muslimin here, they were away from the Prophet. They had to make their choice. And they decided, you know what? We were responsible to keep this cover. If we let them go, then the cover will be blown. They attacked them. A couple were killed. Some were taken as captive. One or two were killed. The rest were taken as captives to Medina. And of course, in the end, this is what mistakes do. Like with that mistake, the cover is blown anyway, because these people go missing. Who killed them? They're going to go and do the math, and they'll figure out what happened eventually, if not soon after. And that's what happened. So they made a mistake. This is the point. They made a mistake. What was their mistake? Qatl, killing where they shouldn't have. Those people deserved it. They were enemies of Islam. They had fought against the Muslims. They had tortured Muslimin. So they had the right to do that. But the problem was that this was in the months of Haram. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ. They ask you about the haram months and fighting in these months. Qital is fighting, it's not killing. Qital is not qatl. It starts with that. Then the verse starts with that, God starts the verse with that, then he responds in the same verse. قل, if I remember correctly, القتال فيه كبير, if I remember, I'm not sure of these two words. But then it says, وصد عن سبيل الله. It starts with this point. صد عن سبيل الله. Preventing people from moving on the path of Allah, coming to the path of Allah. And a few other items are mentioned, but it starts with this. This is most important. This is أكبر عند الله والفتنة أكبر من القتل. The word fitna includes all of the above, all of what was mentioned previously. Fitna includes صدٌ عن سبيل الله. سبيل الله is that God's law is what people live by. What God says is bad and wrong, people consider that bad and wrong. The liberals are the ones who are on the forefronts of the enemies of Islam, fighting Islamic values, fighting God's law. One of the examples that they are the ones, although it's bipartisan these days, but they are in the forefronts, they are the ones who have been fighting Islam and all religions on this particular topic. It's the Democrats. The crime of that is no less than قتل. According to the Quran, وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَكْبَر مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. This is worse than قتل. So if anybody thinks that participating in the elections is going to be even voting for lesser of two evils, this is another fallacy that is presented to us. Even if it were the case that one will have less killing compared to the other, the Quran says the other is involved with fitna, if not more than this one, at least at the same amount, and therefore that is worse than qatl. You're not voting for lesser of two evils. According to this, you are voting for the worst of two evils. If one is involved with qatl only, which they're not, they're involved with both. And the other is only involved with fitna, which they're not, they're involved with both. Then the one that is involved with fitna, the Democrats, because that's what they're saying, there's less killing and less bombing and so on and so forth, which isn't true. According to this verse, they would be even worse than Trump's party, because they're involved with fitna. الفتنة أكبر من القاتل. I hope that the Muslimin really get a grip on their decision-making. It is sad to see every election season comes or coming, and one way or another, through some supposed leader of the Muslim community, be it Shia or Sunni, Biden sitting with some people who claim to be leaders of the Shia community. Leaders of the Shia community are the ones who reflect the Shia values, the Shia doctrine. They follow the Ahlul Bayt in this. The Ahlul Bayt follow the Quran. We've presented with that view is these people claim to be leaders of the Shia, but by sitting with the Democratic Party, the worst of the two evils, they are showing that they're not representing the Shia community and they are not leaders of the Shia community. They are the leaders of nifaq within the Shia community, pushing people away from the Ahlul Bayt, pushing people away from the direction of Islam, away from the Quran, away from Imam al-Hussein. The Shia and the Sunni Muslimin in general need to get a grip. If we see anyone joining the tawaghit, telling us to support the tawaghit, we should recognize them as munafiqeen. This is what the Quran says. Supporting one of the parties that has been involved in a political system that has ruled over the Muslim world in such an evil way, changing Islam, changing tashayyu', killing Muslimin of Shia and Sunni, telling us to support them. This is wilaya of the kuffar. The Quran says, بشر المنافقين بأن لهم عذابا أليما الذين يتخذون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين. Those who take the kuffar as أولياء, this is not speaking of something that is unknown. This is very public. Anyone who takes them as awliya and then pushes other believers to take them as awliya, this is exactly what the Quran considers nifaq. Bashir al-munafiqeen bi-anna lahum adhaban alima. Whoever wants to join these munafiqeen who claim to be leaders of the Shia community, of the Muslim community, go right ahead, join them. There will be hellfire in the hereafter. No Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein does not save those who have wilaya of the taghut. He shed blood. He saw his six-month-old baby, the head of Ali ibn al-Asghar, severed before his eyes. He wasn't willing to accept the taghut. Him doing shafa'a for those who are pushing people to accept this taghut, definitely fire without shafa'a of the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah protect us all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all Muslimin. We ask Him to protect the those who want to be the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, who say they are the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, that He protects us all from the fitna of the munafiqeen before the fitna of the kuffar. The fitna of the kuffar will never be effective amongst Muslimin without the intervention of the munafiqeen. Munafiqeen are the ones that cause the fitna of the kuffar to have an impact on the Muslim community. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we ask in dua iftitah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rids the ummah of the munafiqeen that have for a very long time caused trouble to this ummah, cause the kuffar to be able to rule over Muslimin. It's all because of the munafiqeen that has been possible. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rid the ummah of the munafiqeen. We ask Him to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all become His true and close companions. We ask Allah to protect all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all believers, mu'mineen and mu'minat, their hajat, their needs, their requests, those who are suffering from illnesses, difficulties. We ask Allah to relieve all mankind of this pandemic, this illness. We ask Allah to grant the knowledge of the cure and the preventative measures to help mankind, give the knowledge of that to the believers and help the believers share that with the world, inshallah, to help us all. We ask Allah, by the rights of the Imam of our time, to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa Alih. Rahimallah man qara al-Fatihata ma'as-salawat.